Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Psachim Daf Tzadi Dalet. We're learning today Leila Nishmas Sandra Bettinger, Sar Rachel Bas Rav Avraham. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah. We're beginning five lines from the top with a new Braisa. Tani Rabbanim, we were discussing Derech Rechoka, the concept of being distant from Yerushalayim. We had the two Shitas in the Mishnah, one that was that you're from the area of Modi'in or beyond, draw a circle around Yerushalayim. The radius of this circle is 15 mil, and a mil is roughly a kilometer, and that is the area beyond that that's called Derech Rechoka. Then we had the opinion that said, no, it's just beyond the Askupas Azar, if you're just outside the Azar. So now we'll discuss a little bit further today. Tana Rabban, the Braisa tells us, Ya'obed Chutz L'Modiim, if you're beyond the Modi'im, now, we just said that if a person walks at a normal pace, it's a 15 mil distance, and that would take a person, we discussed yesterday, would take him the entire time from Chatzos of Yudalit in the afternoon until the Shkia, until sun sets. That takes a person, he can walk 15 mil during that period of time, during those six halachic hours, and therefore, in that situation, if you're beyond that, you're not going to be able to make it to the Azari in time to have the Shechita of the Korban Pesach done, so therefore you're exempt. But what happens if you could get there via taking a fast animal? If you had Yochol Ikones Besusim Ubefrodim, right? You could take either a horse or a mule and get there in time, even though you're more than 15 mil away, but you could go via transportation that would get you there. So I might have thought, Yochol, in that situation, Yehi Chayiv, that a person would be Chayiv Koris if he had the opportunity to come. He could get on a bus, right? He gets on a car, and he could travel that 15 mil in 10 minutes. And therefore, he would be able to get there. So I might have thought that in that situation, he's not exempt. He would be Chayiv Koris. So the Pasuk says, no. Talmud Lomar, Uvederech Lo Hoya. The Pasuk tells us that it has to do physically where you are, not whether you could physically make it. And if you are beyond the prescribed distance, the derech lo haya, you're only going to be chayiv in the Korban Pesach if you weren't on the road. And this guy, v'alo, haya baderech, therefore, this person is exempt because he was on the road. That's an absolute exemption, even though you could have taken these fast horses or mules to get there, even though you could have taken the susim and the prod. Now, haya omed lifnin min hamodiyim, the Braisa tells us, it continues and says, if you were within the limits of this radius of 15 mil, so you could get to the Azora by regular standard walking, but there's a blockage, there's traffic. Then yochol ikones, but you're not allowed, you're not able to get there. Mitnei gemalim ukronos, because there are camels there and wagons. Rashi explains, this is your family. Who are your mevi bano uvnei veso imo or aleim? He had his family coming with him. And therefore, because they're traveling much slower, the camels and the wagons are going much slower than a person could walk. So therefore, you might have said that even though he was within the parameters to be called not in a distant place, he was within that area, nevertheless, so he can't get there because of the traffic, because he's going in a slow-moving vehicle with these camels and these wagons. So I might have thought, Yochol, in that situation, he should also be exempt, because the bottom line is, he couldn't get there. So the Gemara says, no, Talmud Lomar, the Braisa tells us that the Pasuk says, Uve derech lo haya. The only time you're exempt is if you are in a derech rechoka. But if you weren't on the derech, Uve derech lo haya, so then you're chayiv. Vare, lo haya bederech, and he wasn't far away. What should he have done? So Rashi explains, Shein Zaonis, this isn't called extenuating circumstances. Why? Get out of the camel, get out of the wagons, and walk. He could have gone ahead, shechted the Korban Pesach on behalf of everybody, and things would have been good. So therefore, the Braisa says, in that situation, you're not considered as being on the road, because you're within the circle around Yerushalayim of 15 mil. Now, on my Rava tells us, now we're going to start going into a Gemara that is not able to be easily understood in a literal sense, and it is way too profound to be understood in a deeper hashkafic and metaphysical sense. So we're going to basically be reading the words of these Gemaras and doing the best to have a very, very superficial understanding of the words. So we begin. Omar Rava. Rava tells us, Shisha Alfe Parse Havi Oma. Rava tells us that the world is 6,000 parsa. Parsa, again, we said is 4 mil. So this would be 24,000 mil. That is the distance of the world. Now, whether this means the circumference or the width of the world, she's the alfei parsa havyoma. This number is 6,000 according to Rava. We're going to spend most of the rest of this year showing that Rava is incorrect. The sumcha de rikia alfa parsa. And the thickness of the rakia is the lower level of Shemayim. There are seven levels. When we have the expression, he's in seventh heaven, it's based upon our Gemara. This is a clear understanding that the Gemara had that there were these seven layers, or these seven heavens, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu being in the eighth area above that, whatever that exactly means. So v'sumcha, sumcha means the thickness of this lower level of Shemayim, known as the rakia. So this thickness is the distance that it would take of alpha parsi, of 1,000 parsi, of 4,000 mil. Okay, this is what Rava said. Now, how does he know this? So Gemara says, Chodo Gemara, one of them is a tradition that he had, a Masorah that he had, and the Chodo Svarah, the other one, we can calculate out based upon the tradition, and then we can calculate out the other figure. Now, Svarah law, he holds, Rava holds, Ki Chodo Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Rav Yochanan, he holds like the, which we had yesterday, that Rabba Bar Chanan said in Rav Yochanan, that how much can a person walk in one day? Kama Mahalich Odom Beinoni Bayom, how much can a person walk in one day, starting from dawn and going till the stars come out? So we said, Eser Parasols. A person can walk 10 of these parasols again, which is 40 mil. One parasol is 4 mil. So Eser Parasols, 10 parasols is 40 mil. Now, we broke up this day that goes from dawn until the stars come out, and going from dawn until the sun comes out, till Hanetzach Hama, and then we broke that up from the sun's rising till the sun's setting, Hanetzach Hama, until the Shkia, and then we broke up the last part of the day, the Shkia, going until Tzeis HaKochavim. And how do we calculate out each part? So we said, Be'olus HaShachav Yaronetz, we said that going from dawn until the sun's rising is the distance that a person can travel, 5 milin. And that was based upon psukim. Then we said, we said that's the same period of time for the sun to rise, for the sun to set, is the same period of time. So from dawn until the sunrise is the same distance the person can walk, same time that it goes from the sun setting, from Shkia until Tzeis HaKochavim. And that, we said, was a distance of 5 mil. So if you have 5 mil in the morning and 5 mil at night, and you take that away from the 40 mil, so then the daytime from when the sun rises until when the sun sets, from Hanetzach Hama until the Shkia, a person could walk 30 mil, because the whole day is 40 mil, and 5 at the beginning, 5 at the end, so it's 40 mil. That's all from yesterday. That's what Rabba Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Yochanan, and Rabba holds like that. So Nimtza, it turns out, Ovav Shel Rokia Echod Mishisho Bayom. So now, when the sun goes from dawn until the sun rises, or from the sunset until Tzeis HaKochavim, it's passing through the Rakia. It's going out of our sight, and it's traversing this area of Shemayim called the Rakia. Then it goes beyond the Rakia at the end of that period of time, or it comes out fully from the Rakia at the beginning, and that amount of time, we said, is the distance that it takes to walk a person 5 mil, and we said the whole world is 6,000 parsa in distance, so therefore, if this time period here is 5 mil compared to 30 during the day, so then 5 to 30 is a 1 to 6 ratio, and if the whole world is a 6,000 parsa distance, and this is 1/6 of that, so then by definition, the rakia, the time it takes the sun to traverse this rakia, either going out from the rakia or going back into the rakia, is going to be 1/6 of that distance, 5 mil to 30. The ratio of 5 to 30 is 1 to 6, and therefore it's going to be 1,000 parsa. If the time that you can traverse in the 30 mil, the sun is traveling, so to say, 6,000 parsa, so in that 1/6 period of time, it travels 1,000 parsa. And that's how Rava understood that the thickness of this rakia, this lower level of the Shemayim, is 1,000 parsa in distance. Now we're going to spend the rest of this year essentially destroying this shita. Meisvei. Gemara is going to prove it wrong in a number of ways. First, we start off in this brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Ovav shel rakia is echod me'asara bayom. He says that the thickness of the rakia is only 1/10 of the distance that the sun travels during the day. Now, how did he get this? Teda. He says, "Kama mahalach adam beinoni bayom." He says, "How long can a person, an average person, walk? How long, how much can he walk during an average day?" Again, in our idealized 12-hour time of daylight, so eser parsos. He says a person can walk 10 parsos. Now that's the same figure that Rabba Bar Chana said in the name of Yochanan that Rava agreed to. Now, how does he then come up with a different calculation that it's 1/10 the rakia as opposed to the 1/6 ratio? So he says, "Umeyolos hashachar and etzachama only arbas milin umishkiyas sachama v'yatzesel kolam arbas milin." He doesn't say it's 5 mil from dawn till sunrise, and then 30 mil during the day, and then another 5 mil from sunset until tzeisik l'chavim. He says it's a 4, and therefore 32, and 4 distance. It's 4 mil a person can only walk between dawn and the sun's rising, and therefore this 32 mil that he can walk during the day, and another 4 to go from the sun setting shkia until tzeisik l'chavim. So he breaks up the day differently. Therefore, nimtzis ovav shel rakia echod me'asara bayom. Therefore, he says the rakia is going to be 1/10. Now, how do you get this figure of 1/10? It should have been 1/8, if we're saying 4 and then 32. So that's a ratio of 1 to 8, 4 to 32, not 1 to 10. So the simple answer is to say that it's talking about here not the 1 to 8 ratio, 4 to 32 ratio, but it's 4 to the entire day. It's 4 to 40. And therefore, this is what he means over here, that it's a 1/10 echad me'asara ratio, and it's talking about the 4 compared to the whole day. That's the simple way that Rashi seems to understand this. There are many, many other interpretations here, and this has tremendous halachah l'maaseh ramifications, because we basically are going to be calculating what is the shear for a person to walk 1 mil. Now, this shear is very important. How long it takes a person to walk a mil is a number that we use in many different halachic aspects, because when we say, let's say, for example, in davening, a person has to go and travel a distance of the takes to walk a mil in order to go to a minyan, otherwise he can daven be yechidus, or how much time does it take to make shmura matzah, that you have to make sure that you don't let the dough sit and become chametz. So it's the shear it takes a person to walk a mil, so it depends. If you use different calculations, you can come up with the shear over here being anywhere from 18 to 24 minutes. And that's where we get the concept of 18-minute matzah. Or we get the Rabbeinu Tam Zman is 72 minutes because it's 4 mil, 4 times 18. As opposed to if you take the shear of 24 minutes, so for matzahs, we machmir take the more stringent shear. But for other dinim, for example, there is an opinion that says the Rabbeinu Tam Zman is not 72 minutes, 96 minutes because it's 4 times 24. And this has huge halacha l'maaseh ramifications. Now, there are shittas in between the 18 and 24 minutes. There's a famous shittah of 22 and a half minutes. All these can be calculated based upon our Gemara over here. So therefore, clearly, this Gemara, this brisa that we brought down, which is a Tanoic source, is going to knock apart Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar of Yochanan, and Rabba's opinion. So to Yufta the Rabba, to Yufta. So we slugged them up. Now, it's not just Rabba we slugged up. Ula was the one that brought this down in the name of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar of Yochanan. So to Yufta the Rabba, to Yufta the Ula, to Yufta. So it's really a to Yufta on both of them. Now, Gemara says, let us also be, Lema to have to Yufta, to Rav Yochanan. Let it be a direct to Yufta to Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan. Why don't we say that too? Gemara says, no, there you make could have another teretz, because this is the way that Ula and Rava understood that Rav Yochanan's statement, but maybe not. Amar Loch, Rav Yochanan could actually say, I be a mama who the Amri. I said that 40 mil is the distance that a person can walk during the daytime hours between sunrise and sunset, not including the period of time beforehand and the period of time afterwards. Now it works out perfectly, because when we said in this brisa that it's 1/10 the distance, now it's 4 to 40. It's a perfectly good, before we said it's 4 to 32, but now we're saying it's 4 to 40 ratio. That exactly works in with the words of the brisa. And Rabbi Yochanan would say that the others, Ula and Rava, misunderstood him, because, again, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar of Yochanan, says, I know, I'm talking about Biyom Hudu Amri, I'm talking about the distance that a person can walk between sunrise and sunset is 40 mil. And these Rabbanan, Ula and Rava, they made a mistake. Who the Karto? They were the ones that made the mistake, because they thought that I was including the period of time between dawn and sunrise and between sunset and the Tzeis HaGuchavim, but I wasn't. The Kochoshvon, the Kadma, the Chashocha, they thought it was the original 40, it was going on the entire day, but I was only talking about the point between sunrise and sunset. Gemara says, okay, fine, we can accept that. So it's not tiyufta on Rabba Bar Rechana, Amar of Yochanan. But what about Lema, Tevi tiyufta of the Rabbi Chanina? Let us say that it's a tiyufta of Rabbi Chanina. Now, Rabbi Chanina, what was his statement? We had in yesterday's shir. He said there was a 5 mil distance that was walking. It took the Malachim, who took Lot out of Sodom to Tzoar, so they traveled from dawn until the sun's rise, and we said that that was a distance of 5 mil. He said it's a distance of 5 mil, but now you're telling us in this Brisa that the distance is 4 mil that a person can walk from dawn until the sun rise. So at least this Brisa should be a tiyufta also to Rabbi Chanina. That statement that he made from Sodom until Tzoar was 5 mil. Here we see that it's only 4 mil. Someone says, no, that's incorrect. Rabbi Chanina could still be in accord with this price. It's not a tiyufta to Rabbi Chanina because the pasuk says vayoitzu, which is shiny. So therefore, this is not a tiyufta. Lo, it's not a tiyufta to Rabbi Chanina because vayoitzu, which means that they rushed, that they hurried, and therefore, if the person's running, so he can cover in the distance where normally you could only cover 4 mil when you're walking regularly. If you're running, if you're rushing, you can cover 5 mil. So it's not a tiyufta to Rabbi Chanina. Toshma, we're going to continue to keep on slugging up rubber from other brises. Toshma says in the following brisa, Mitzrayim. Again, these are very esoteric brises. They cannot be understood literally. They don't fit certainly into our understanding of geography and our understanding of the way the world distances are. But again, we understand this on a metaphysical level, and we're going to try to just understand the words. Toshma, Mitzrayim hi arba meos parsa, al arba meos parsa. Mitzrayim has a size of being 400 parsa by 400 parsa. So imagine it's like a square, so it's 400 times 400 square parsa. Now, Mitzrayim in relation to Kush is 1/60. Umitzrayim echod mishishim bekush. Mitzrayim is 1/60 the size of Kush. And Kush, echod mishishim bolam. And Kush is 1/60 the size of the world. So Mitzrayim is a 60th of Kush, which is a 60th of the world. So therefore, this 400 by 400 parsa of Mitzrayim is 1/3600 of the size of the world. 60 times 60 is 3,600. And that is Mitzrayim's relationship or its ratio to the size of the entire world. Now, how big is the world? The Olam, the world is Echad Mishishim Bagan. The world in relationship to Gan. Now, the Gan is not Gan Eden. Gan and Eden are two separate parts. So here it's talking about the Gan of Eden. So the world is 1/60 of the area of the Gan of Gan Eden. The Gan and the Gan itself is Echad Mishishim Eden, is 1/60 of the Eden. This is the Gan of Eden. So the world is 1/60 of the Gan, and the Gan is 1/60 of Eden. The Eden itself is Echad Mishishim Gehenim, is only 1/60 of the size of Gehenim. Therefore, in relationship to Gehenim, Nimso Kol Olam Kulo Kikisui Kedera LeGehenim. So the world is like a little bit of a lid on top of Gehenim when you look in terms of all these relative sizes. Again, this is not to be understood literally, and it is on a metaphysical level what exactly this means. We'll have to leave to people that are much smarter than me. So, Nimso Kol Olam Kulo Kikisui Kedera LeGehenim. Therefore, this world is way, way larger than the 6,000 parsa that Rava had said. So again, tiyufta de Rava, tiyufta, we shlug up Rava again. Do it one more time. Toshma. We're going to show the following brisa. The Tana de Elio, they learned the base medrash of Elio. So many say that this is Rav Anan's base medrash, and he was a regular Talmud of Elio HaNavi. We have many stories in the Gemara, including one where he had done something through no fault of his own. He caused a person to get into trouble, and Elio left him. And that's why you have Elio Rabba and Elio Zuta. You have the brises that he learned with Elio before he was, so to say, dismissed from Elio's presence. And then after he did tshuva, so he came back in, he learned more from him. That's a smaller amount, and that's Elio Zuta. In any event, these brises are accorded by many to be sourced from Elio HaNavi. Others say, no, this just was a Tana whose name was Elio. In any event, in the base medish of Elio, they learn the following, Rabbi Nosson Omar, Kol HaYishuv Kulo Tachas Kochov Echad Yoshev. He says, all of the world is underneath one star. And the reason that you know that is, Teda, Shari Odom no sein eino Kochov Echad, and Holech LaMizrach, Omer Kinegdo, La Baruchos Olam, Omer Kinegdo. Wherever you travel, you see the same star above you. So a person's traveling over here. He travels 100 miles, the star's still right above him. He travels another 100 miles, the star's still right above him. You go from one corner of the world to the other corner of the world, that star's still going to be right above you. Even if you go to the Arba Ruchos Olam. Therefore, the entire distance of the world can be underneath one star. Mikhlal, the Kol HaYishuv Kulo, tachas kochav echad yoshev. It's all underneath this one star. Now, Rashi points out in Dibur Maskel tachas kochav echad omed. He says kama kochav miyesh b'ki. You have many stars in the sky. Lay mispo. You can't count the stars in the sky. The kivan the kochav echad machzik is kol hayishov. One star you can traverse the entire world, and that star is still going to be above you. So the entire world can't even, so to say, be the size of that one star. And the civilized part of the world is more than 1,000 parsa. Now, Rashi explains that the rest of the world is made up of Yamim and Midbaros and all sorts of other areas that are not inhabited by mankind. So therefore, if this one star is 1,000 parsa, and Hare Kama Kochav Mishibarakia, so they also are each 1,000 parsa, so Yishav Echol L'chol Kochav, so the world that we have is filled with rivers and oceans and deserts, and there are many stars. So there are many parsa over here, way more than the 6,000 that Rava says. The Gemara concludes, Tiyufta the Rava, Tiyufta again. We shlug him up one more time. We'll do it one more time. Toshma, another brisa. The brisa tells us that the constellations of Egla, which is Taurus, which is the calf, and Akra, which is a scorpion, so the constellations of Egla is always in the Tzofon, and Akra is always in the Dorum of the sky. They never go that Egla should be in the southern part of the sky, and that Akra should be in the northern part of the sky. V'chol ha'yishov kulo en yoshiv ela bein Egla li'Akra. Wherever you are in the world, you're always going to have Egla to the north of you, and you're going to have the Akra to the south of you. Therefore, and the entire world, you can see that the sun, in between the hours of 11:30 and 12:30, the sun is above the entire world. It's directly above the world for this 1 hour of the day, right? We see the sun directly above us at midday, so it's a half an hour each way before we can detect, so to say, that the sun is no longer directly above us. And therefore, teida shebechomesh at the fifth hour of the day, Chama b'Mizrach, the sun is definitely, clearly, you can see at 11 o'clock that the sun's on the eastern part of the sky. U'b'sheva, once it's an hour after Chatzos, you can clearly see that the sun is on the western part of the sky. B'sheva, Chama b'Marav, so therefore, this Chatzi Sheish v'Chatzi Sheva, so from 11:30 to 12:30, this half hour before Chatzos, half hour after Chatzos, Omedis Rosh Kolodim, it's above every single person in the world. And therefore, clearly again, if the sun is above the entire world at that point in time, so then the world is much, much larger than the part that's inhabited is much larger than 1,000 parsa. And therefore, again, Tiyufta to Rava, says the whole world is only 6,000 parsa. Rashi explains that this proof is that every person sees the sun above them, and the entire inhabited world sees the sun above them, so that means that the sun has essentially gone in just this 1 hour from 11:30 to 12:30 over the entire Yishuv, which we say is 1,000 parsa, and then it travels the rest of the day a much, much longer distance. It travels 12 hours, so it's at least twice as much as that. So therefore, Tiyufta de Rava, it can't be 6,000 parsa. Another one, Toshma. We learn the following braisa. Dom of Yochum and Zakir. Yochum and Zakir tells us, Ma teshuva heshivatu baskol yosa rosha. Now this is a famous maisa that Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to go up to Shemaim and fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like his predecessor, the evil Nimrod. And he's a descendant of Nimrod. Said, I'm going to go up with the Tower of Babel and go and fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Nebuchadnezzar, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So Nebuchadnezzar says the same thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, this is from Yeshaya. He says, B'shoa Sh'omar, when he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ele al-bomo asay av, I will go up above the clouds, the av is the clouds, Adame le'elyon, and I will be just like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu laughs at him. Yosef Basko. A Basko comes out from Shemayim Armelo and tells Nebuchadnezzar, Rosha ben Rosha, you Rosha, who are the son of Rosha. We turn to Tzadik Dalit on the base. He calls him Ben Beno, Shel Nimrod Rosha, the grandson. Lav Dafka, literally, Rashi says, Lav Dafka, Ben Beno, he wasn't literally the grandson. Ela Klomar, Mizera Nimrod, he was a descendant. Ben Beno doesn't mean literally grandchild, it means a descendant. So you are the descendant, both from a lineage point of view as well as from a philosophical point of view of Nimrod Rosha, who did the same thing. Kamashnoso Shalodim. Now, how do you think you're going to come up to Shemayim? You think you're going to live long enough that you could theoretically traverse these huge distances? You're going to die before you even reach me to come and be up here like me. So Kamashnoso Shalodim. How long does an average person live? So we have the famous Pasuk Mitzilah, Shivim Shana. average person lives 70 years. No, you're extra strong. If you're a strong person, 80 years. It's interesting how the average lifespan of a person does fit into these numbers. Yitz Hashem, we should all live to be zocha, healthy, 120 years. But when you're dealing with large numbers of people, these are the average lifespan. When you say the Yiratzon, many people say before Tilim, it's brought down, you shouldn't say, you shouldn't say that because you're sort of say limiting yourself. You want to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 120 years. So the custom is not to say those words when you say the Yiratzon before you say Kapitlach of Tilim. In any event, that's the average lifespan of a person. So you, Nevuchadnezzar, you think you're going to reach up to me? How are you going to live long enough to travel up to me? So as the Pasuk Tilim says, Shnema, Yimeshno say no Bahem Shiv Mishana, Yimeguru Shmonim Shana. Fine. Now, Mino Aretz Adorakia, the amount of travel that you'd have to go from the earth until the Rakia is Mahalech Chamesh Me'ol Shana. It would take a person to travel 500 years to get up to the lowest level of Shemayim, which is the Rakia. And then we said, Va'ovav Shal Rakia is Mahalech Chamesh Me'ol Shana. The distance that it would take a person to travel through this Rakia, this lower level of heaven, would be an additional 500 years. And then through every layer of heaven and the space in between, Ubein. Now you have to delete the word kol. It's in parentheses here because it's really talking now between the first and second layer, and then it'll tell us between all the layers. So Ubein Rakia, the lowest layer to the Rakia above it, is Mahalei Chomesh Me'el Shana, is another 500 years. And then Lechein Bein Kol Rakia Rakia, in between each of these layers of the seven heavens of Shemayim, is another 500 years. And therefore, Pesach HaKol, you have much, much, much more than a person's lifetime. How are you ever going to reach me? Ach El Sha'ol Turat El Yarkasei Bar. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not going to reach up to Shemayim, but you're going all the way down to Gehenim. And therefore, we see that the distance in between the Rakia is much more than 1,000 parsa. If it takes a person 500 years to go that distance, so therefore, Tiyufta, again, another Tiyufta, Derava, Tiyufta. Another bright, Tana Rabbanon, Chach Me Yisrael Omrim, the Jewish scholars, they say that the world is Galgal Kavua, that the wheel of the stars in the sky is actually Kavua, is set, and Umazolos Choshen, and the Mazolos are actually moving. What exactly this means, I don't fully understand, but this is the approach that the Chach Me Yisrael had. Now I point out, no pun intended, this is not Min HaShemayim, this isn't given to us on Har Sinai that these numbers existed. This was their understanding from a scientific point of view, how the world was functioning, so to say, how the universe was. So this is not necessarily going to be astronomically corrected the way we understand it today. And the Gemara is not telling us that this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore everything that we see with our astronomy today and our understanding of the world is wrong. No. Our understanding of the world is, as we understand it today, correct. And this Gemara is, again, a metaphysical idea. So the Chazal, our Chachmei Yisrael, said that the Galgal is Kavua, that the stars that are going through the Galgal, through the wheel of the Shemayim, they are, the wheel is fixed, but the stars move about, Mazalus Choshen. As opposed to the Chachmei Yumas Olam, the scientists of the secular world, they say, Omrim, Galgal Choshen, the wheel is turning, and the mazalos are kvuah, and the mazalos are actually fixed in the sky. I'm not sure exactly how to explain this. We'll just take the words as they are. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says, Tshuva l'divrayim, I will show you that the words of the Chazal are correct, because me'olam lo motzinu eglo b'darom v'akur b'tzofon. We pointed out already before that the constellation of Taurus, the calf, is always in the north, and the constellation of the scorpion, Akrav, is always in the south. And since they never move about, so obviously it's clear, the Chazal are right, that the constellations are not able to move. So when our Chazal say, the Galgal is Kavua, that's what it means, that those constellations can't move. So he questions this and he says, no, maybe what we're seeing over here is Vidilma Kibbutzina Derechaya. It is like the saw part of a mill. The saw part, the sharp part of the mill, is fixed to the mill and it turns with the turning of the mill. So that's the same way, maybe the stars in the sky, they're fixed, so to say, but they're turning because the wheel is turning, the mill is turning. So maybe that's the explanation, and that's like the Chachmei Umos HaOlam, or alternatively, Inami, Kitsinora Didasha. This is like a door when it opens and closes on its hinges, so that's the similar idea. The door is fixed, but it's able to move because it's attached on the hinges. So maybe that's the understanding of how the stars are in the sky, and that's why they're moving, but they're not able to move beyond a certain point. And that's why when we see the constellation of the Egla always in the north and Akrav always in the south, this would explain how the Chachmi Umos Olam understood the sky. Gemara continues, says, another machlok between the Chachmi Umos Olam and Chachmi Yisrael. So the Brisa tells us, Chachmi Yisrael Omrim, Ah, Chazal tell us, Bayom Chamam Alechas Lematam in a Rakia. During the daytime, the sun is traversing the sky below the Rakia. Again, the Rakia is the lowest layer of Shemayim. Ubalaila, at nighttime, it goes through the Rakia, but it ends up being Lemalam in a Rakia. It's above the Rakia. The Chachmi Umos Olam say the opposite. They say, Omrim, Bayom Chamam Alechas Lematam in a Rakia. Yet, we see the sun below the Rakia during the day. Nobody disagrees about that. But they say, Balaila, instead of going through the Rakia above the Rakia, it goes through the Rakia, Balaila, Matam in a Rakarka. It goes below the ground. And therefore, this is an Afgamina. Omer Rebbe, Benir and Divrei Hen, Midvarenu. Therefore, Rebbe says, I believe that they're more correct in our approach. Again, it's not Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. So this is the scientific understanding. So they could be making a mistake. The Chazal could make a mistake. When we have the practice of medicine throughout the Gemara, they're practicing based upon the standards of the academies of Nardoi and Pumbedisa, which certainly wouldn't be considered the standard of medical art today. So therefore, Rebbe says, I think that their understanding, the Chachmi Umos Olam, is more correct than the understanding of our Chazal. Their understanding is more correct than our understanding. Why? Because Rebbe says, Shabayom, during the daytime, when the sun is underneath the Rakia, so Mayonos Tzoninin, so the depths of the wells are cold. Ubalaila Roschen, and at nighttime, they're hot. Now, if the sun is even higher than the Rakia, so then they should even be colder at night. But if you're saying that it goes below the Rakia, into the ground, so to say, below the ground, so then we understand why at nighttime they're heated up. Okay. Tana, we learn another braisa. Rabbi Nosson Omer, b'yimosa chama, chama melechas begova shorakia, during the days of the summer, the sun is high in the sky, and therefore, lefikoch kol olam kulo roseach, the world is hot, but umayon is stonin, but since it's so high in the sky, so the depths of the waters are going to be cold. But b'mos ha'gishamim, during the rainy winter season, chamam alechas b'shipule rakia, the sun is lower in the sky, and therefore, lefikoch kol olam kulo tzone. It's more distant, the sun is lower in the sky, but it's further away, so therefore the world is cold, but since if you go by the Chacham Umos Olam, that it's going then towards the ground, so Mayanos Roschen, so the springs, the wells, are going to be high. Again, similar idea to supporting what Rebbe seemed to say, that Nirin Divrayan Midvarenu, if I understand this correctly. Then Tana Rabbanan, another brisa, Biarbo Shvilin Chamam Alechas. There are four routes, so to say, that the sun takes, which correspond to the four seasons. During the seasons of the spring, Nisan, Iyar, Visivan, Mahaleches, Bahorim. The sun, so to say, is traversing the mountainous areas. And the reason for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set the world in motion that way, Kedei Lafasher, to go and melt, Pshara is a compromise, so it's, we say, Mayim Psharim are lukewarm waters, so in order to go and melt, Lafasher is a shlogim, to go and melt the snows in the mountains. So that's one of the sources for the waters in the rivers. During the summer months, Tammuz, Avi, Elul, so Malechas B'Yishuv, the sun is present in the civilized areas of the world, the inhabited areas of the world, and the reason for that is, Kedei Lavashel Saperos, in order to have the fruits ripen properly. During the autumn months, Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan, Mekislev, where is the sun then? Malachas B'yam, it's over the oceans, and the purpose of this is Kedei L'yabish HaSenaharos, in order that the rivers should lose some of their water, and they shouldn't overflood the world. And during the winter months, Teves, Shvat, V'Adar, Malachas B'Midbar, the sun is over the desert areas of the world, Shalom Yabish HaSenaharos, and that it shouldn't dry out excessively the growths that are in the ground that are waiting to become fully grown and mature in the ground. Okay. I don't claim to have really understood this Gemara. We did read the words. Now we quote our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer had said, he was of the opinion, we were talking about the two possibilities of Derech Rechoka. So we had the Tanakama, Rabbi Akiva telling us it means from Modi'in, you draw a circle of 15 mil around Yerushalayim, and everything beyond that is Derech Rechoka. And Rabbi Eliezer said it means, no, if you're just outside the threshold of the Azara, that's called Derech Rechoka. And this was based upon the dot over the letter Hey in the word Rechoka. Now, based upon this, the Gemara says, V'afal gab the motzi ayil. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the person is 2 feet away from the Azari. He's just outside Shar Niknar, and it would not take him a lot of effort to go inside. Nevertheless, V'lo amrinalei, we don't say to such a person that you're going to be chayiv karis unless you come inside. Kum ayil, or else you're going to be chayiv karis. Aye, is that really true? V'atanya, we learn in a braisa. Yehudi Orel, if you have a Jewish person that hasn't had a bris milah, shalomal, so Anush Kares. So he is Chayiv Kares. We tell him, you better go be Ma'al yourself. And who's the author of that statement? Our Rebbe Eliezer, Divri Rebbe Eliezer. So how can you tell me the Rebbe Eliezer says you're not Chayiv Kares if you could have gone inside, even though you're outside? But he says by Orel, he says, if you don't do the bris milah, you are Chayiv Kares. Why don't we say over there that, oh, he's exempt because he's an Orel? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. No, there's a difference between being in a Derech Rechoka or being an Orel. Why is that? Derech Rechoka is a din la tohar. Only a person who's tar does the din of Derech Rechoka apply to. However, the ain't Derech Rechoka la tameh. But if a person is tameh, so then somewhat paradoxically, even if you're a Derech Rechoka, you're still chayiv because a tameh person cannot take advantage of this Derech Rechoka concept. Tosus points out the obvious problem with this logic in the second Tosus in Derech, and he says, Kitzas Tema, Kishu Omed Chutz Li Azara, Vhu Orel, O Tome, Chayim Pesach. This means that if you're outside the Azara by 1 foot, and if you're Tahar, you're Potter. But if you're outside by 1 foot and you're an Orel, somehow you're Chayim. He says it doesn't make any sense. Vimimo Vitar, you Potter. If he had a Bris Milah and he became Tahar, then now he would be Potter. So you're actually worse off by being a RL or a Tameh person because you are not able to take advantage of this exemption of Derech Rechoka. So it's a paradox that you're actually worse off if you're 1 foot away and you're Tahar and not an RL, you're a mild person, then you're Potter if you're 1 foot away. But if you're 100 feet away, if you're 100 miles away and you're Tahar, so then you're actually Chayiv. So it's a much worse situation for the person. He has to go to the mikvah and be mitar. Otherwise, he'll be held accountable. You have to go to the bris milah, and you'll otherwise be held accountable. That's a bayis teretz over here with this somewhat paradox. Rava gives a different teretz. Rava amar tanoihi. This is, in fact, the machlokas tanoim. In the Baalim Brais, so we see the Tanya, these two opinions. First opinion is Rabbi Eliezer. That's our Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer omer, nema richuk mokum bepesach, nema richuk mokum bemaiser. He makes a comparison between the status of being b'derech rechoka by Pesach and where you're allowed to go and eat the ma'aser sheni that a person has to bring up to Yerushalayim. You must eat it within Yerushalayim. So therefore, it says, nemar richok makom Pesach, nemar richok makom ma'aser. This din of being outside, distant, applies to the korban Pesach and to ma'aser sheni as follows. Just by ma'aser sheni, if you're 1 foot outside Yerushalayim, you can't eat your ma'aser sheni. So too, if you're 1 foot outside the Azara, you're not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Pesach, Korban Pesach. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Oh, that goes in accord with what we said. Then we have the other opinion, which is the other Braiser, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. He said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, this is the understanding, Chutzla Siyoso. It's dealing with the place where it's actually made, and the Korban Pesach is made in the Azara. So therefore, his opinion, it says, it's in the Azara. That's exactly where the definition is. If you're outside the Azara, you're considered B'derech Rechoka. Now, Kiman Oz Laha, who does the following Brisa go in accord with? What does this Brisa say? Dama Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef, Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef says, B'tmeim, when we're calculating how much of Klai Yisrael is Tomei, and we have if more than 50% of Klai Yisrael is Tomei, so then we said, then the entire Klai Yisrael can bring the Korban Pesach B'tumah. So how do you calculate this 50%? So he says, in regards to figuring out how many are Tmeim, Holich Acha Rova Omdim Azara, you calculate how many people are actually in the Azara itself, and you say, how many of them are Tomei, how many of them are Tar, if it's more than 50%, then all of Klai Yisrael is considered Tomei. So who does this go like? Come on, obviously like the last opinion that we just brought down, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Shama Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, that you go by Asiyoso, the place where it's made, where the Korban Pesach exactly shechted, which is the Azara. That's the definition. Then we have Amalor Rabbi Yossi Lefikach Vechule. Rabbi Yossi, it said in the Mishnah to explain Rabbi Eliezer Shita, it says B'derech Rechoka with the dot over the letter Hey, and that is a miut, and it teaches us that it means only in the Azara, like Rabbi Eliezer had said. Tanya, we learn another Brisa. Rabbi Yossi Galilei Omer. Rabbi Yossi Galilei says Derech. When it says the word derech, I would have said shomei ani mahalech shnayim moshol shiyom. I would have thought that means, you know, some distance, a 2 or 3 day travel. But then when it says ukisha omer over derech loya, that he's not on the road, so that tells me magid shemi skupas huazara velachutz kori derech. No, that tells me that he's not on the road at all. And as soon as you go a foot beyond the Azara, so now you're on the road. You're on the way to the Azara. You're leaving the Azara on the road. And therefore, if it just said Derech, I wouldn't have known what it meant. But when it says Uba Derech Lo Hoya, that you're not at all on the road, so this is in accord with the opinion that we brought down to Rabbi Eliezer, that it means outside the Azara itself. That's called Baderech. This was not an easy shiur. This is a very esoteric shiur. The Ezes Hashem will pick up with a new Mishnah tomorrow. This concludes today's shiur.